Hey, everybody. I'm Nathan Warnock.
I'm Andrea Warnock.
And this is our Sunday Night Live Q&A that we do here on the Marriage by Design podcast. I did not check the microphone level before we started, so tell me if I'm not coming in or if my lips are moving but no words are coming out. Put that in the comments. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. This is a show that we get to do every Sunday night where Andrea scoots into her seat 3 seconds before we go live.
Because it's always like trying to get all the kids situated.
Right. And I took like the world's fastest shower right before we did this.
I was shocked.
And I used the kids' shampoo conditioner. So I smell like a pina colada right now, which is nice.
Why is there stuff smell like a pina
colada? I think it's called coconut splash. Yeah. So anyway, here we are. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I wanted to take a couple minutes and address a couple things about divorce that we've been covering in the last couple of weeks on Marriage Monday. And then the main event that we're going to talk about tonight is the main event is about educating our children. We had a question come in last week from a friend of ours who lives in Auckland, New Zealand. And he had asked that one thing that's coming up quite a bit in their church is thinking about how do we educate our kids and how do we think about, do we do public school versus homeschool versus private school? And how do we think about those things? And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So just briefly on the topic of divorce, I put the links to the last two Marriage Mondays that we've done in the comment section. If you've not had a chance to listen to those, I would invite you to listen to those. We get quite a bit of feedback on our stance on marriage because it is probably what most people would call a hard line stance on on marriage and the importance of marriage and divorce and when divorce is appropriate. So I would encourage you to listen to those and I would invite your comments and your questions.
Yeah.
And certainly as you're watching this video, if you have listened to those episodes and you have questions, so the two things we've covered so far are marriage and divorce generally. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And then part two was talking about adultery and divorce. Then tomorrow morning we'll be releasing an episode talking about abandonment and divorce. And that's probably the one that has been the most difficult for us because that's a message that's been real. Like we've had to bring that to a few couples that the Lord's brought into our life and talking about what we think that passage of scripture in the second half of 1 Corinthians 7 means. And so I'd love to have you listen in on that episode and give us your feedback as well. And pre-read it, right? It's half a chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the second half. So take a listen to that.
You have like a fuzz. It's really bothering.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So you let me sure go no through like think. 7 minutes.
No one could see it, I promise, but me. And it was just bothering me.
That's great. Thank you for doing that, babe. You take care of me. That's sweet. All right. So, babe, we were on vacation this week. How was that?
We went to Branson, Missouri. So we...
The Bible Belt.
Yep, we did all sorts of things there. They have a lot of really unique stuff there. So...
Yeah, it was fun.
So, yeah, we went to Silver Dollar City twice on one ticket.
we went once and got poured on.
Oh, it was miserable. So Silver Dollar City is like a theme park.
Old West, like 18, late 1800s.
It's really cool.
Theme.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So we got rained out the first time that we were there and it was just miserable. And then the second day that we went there was thankfully no rain. But we planned on leaving, and we didn't leave the park until like 8 o'clock.
Right, and had a several hour drive.
Yes, so we didn't end up getting back between stops and all that. We didn't end up getting back home till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa!
But it was nice to be able to just stay as long as we wanted, and the kids slept in the car. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a vacation hack. If you're looking for a life hack for vacation, and you can swing it with your jobs. Come home from vacation on a Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you still have the weekend to recover and unpack and all that stuff.
Right.
So then we did this one place called Fritz's. I don't even know how to explain it, but it was really cool, and the kids loved it.
Mm-hmm. Fritz Adventure Park, I think, is what it was
maybe
called.
I don't know. Some indoor thing that was really cool.
Yeah. Did some putt-putt. If you've been to Branson, you know there's putt-putt everywhere in Branson, but so we did some of that.
It was good. I was a little frustrated throughout the week because I felt like there was a lot of complaining from the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm really tired of that. So, I mean, as parents, we know, like, our kids have it good. They are cared for. Sure. They're loved. Their lives aren't perfect, but they have a good life. And it really bothers me when they complain, especially when we're doing something like on a vacation that's really all about them.
Right.
Oh, it just irks me. And I just don't even want to take them on vacation for a very long time. So if you've got experience with that and you've figured out some really good ways to combat that with your kids, let me know. Because even just the complaint at home is just too much for me. Like complaining about dinner all the time or, right, you know, all the stuff.
I mean, even there's consequences for that, and they just, it's like a super bad habit that they have.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, with that lead in, babe, let's not waste any more time and jump right into this education question.
Yeah.
So, the question came up last week. It was asked by, again, a friend of ours in New Zealand. And as you have questions or thoughts, please put those down in the comments. And like this question that was posed to us last week, we'll answer them. Hopefully if we have time during our, you know, the next 20 minutes or so of our time today, that's great. Yeah. If not, we'll push it back a week. But if you have questions either about educating your kids or what we're about to talk about or divorce or any of the topics we've talked about on Marriage Monday, Family Friday, please let us know. Also one programming note, the Family Friday, we didn't come out with a Family Friday last week because we were on vacation. Oops. So that got bumped. That'll be bumped to next Thursday morning. That'll come out. We're finishing our topic on teaching our kids about the armor of God. So check that out on next Thursday. Okay. So here was the question that was posed to us last week. It's coming up quite a bit to him, and he's a pastor, within his church body, of how do we think about educating our kids, homeschool versus public school versus private school. There's some difficulty in answering this question, and I'm going to try and answer it from an American standpoint because, of course, that's where we live, so that's where I have the most experience with. But I'm also, Jerem, for you, the sake of you and your body, I'm going to try and answer it from more of a broader standpoint as well. Obviously, I went to school in the New Zealand school system for a short amount of time, but enough to get a feel for it. And of course, I know a decent amount about the government in New Zealand. So, you know, I kind of have an idea of that too. But the most important thing throughout all of this has really nothing to do with the governmental system and everything to do with understanding what our role is as parents and being intentional. And you're going to hear me come back to that over and over and over and over again as we talk about educating our kids the next 20 minutes, is being intentional. Because if there's one thing I think parents are failing at right now, it's thinking intentionally with regards to educating their children. And at least in the United States, I think that our school system is specifically set up for you to not think about it and just do it. So being intentional is something we're going to come back to.
I think part of the difficulty in answering the question is we have very specific convictions for ourselves and understanding that some things are what we are convicted on and, maybe not somebody else. Nathan's right. Got a smirk on his face because he does not necessarily see eye to eye on that.
No, I mean, Andrea and I as a couple spent a lot of time before Jackson went into kindergarten talking about this. And I'm willing to admit that I have pretty strong beliefs about homeschool versus public school versus private school. But for our conversation here, I'm going to try and walk you guys through just how to think about it, right? Not necessarily let me tell you about what my political leanings are, all that, because this is part of the problem, right? With thinking about homeschooling versus public schooling versus private schooling is it becomes political almost immediately. And it really shouldn't.
Right.
Look, anything that I say about private school teachers or public school teachers, or frankly, homeschooling, has nothing to do with the individuals, right? So, you know, when I'm critical of the public school system, as I'm going to be here in a minute, I'm not saying your sister who's been a public school teacher for 20 years is a bad human being.
Right.
Right. This is the problem, is it becomes immediately about, well, this person that I know you're saying is a bad person. No, I'm not. Frankly, I know some people who have homeschooled who have done an atrocious job of homeschooling. So this isn't a political thing. But what I will say is it's time for us to start being intentional with regards to educating our children. Why is that? Our children, look, you earmuffs, if you're watching this with your kids, you had sex to create your children. That's the extent of the work that you did. And probably you had sex multiple times and you've not gotten pregnant every time. If you've gotten pregnant every time you've had sex, that's amazing. Probably you've had sex a number of times and gotten pregnant one or two or three or four, or in our case, five of those times. So my point in that is someone greater than you was involved in that process, right? So from a Christian standpoint, you look at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. You can find this in the Psalms when David's writing about himself. It's crystal clear that the Lord knew us as human beings, as people, from even the moment we were being formed in our mother's womb. So Jesus, God, looked down here on earth, saw you and your spouse, and thought, you know what the two of you really need right now is insert the name of your children, right? I mean, throughout all of human history, your child, you know, Jackson is our oldest, Jackson could have been born to any family from Adam and Eve on down throughout human history, but God looked down and he said, you know what, all this whole mosaic that I'm putting together of human history, I need Jackson to be born to Nathan and Andrea Warnock in 2010. Bam. And he was. So for us, recognizing that, I think when we take a step back and look at the grandeur of parenting, it helps us to understand, man, I have four children who God hand-placed in my family for me to raise on his behalf. And I say it that way specifically because it's a misnomer for me to say those are my children. All we did the easy part. I mean, you certainly did less of the easy part when it comes to labor than we did. But my point is, like, we didn't like go, okay, God, now this is going to be Jackson, going to need a penis, going to need brown hair, brown eyes, going to need this stuff, right? We didn't do that. Right. We had sex. The Lord bless us with a child. Here's the child. So for us, we recognize that this is a child God specifically placed here. And so we should be intentional about how we raise that child. Here's the problem when it comes to educating. The governmental system in the United States, and it's the same way in New Zealand, a little different but similar situation, which is that you, from the time your child is born, is funneled into a certain type of schooling. Right here in the United States, you have to do nothing to get your child an education. Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm talking about an education as it's defined by the Department of Education in the United States. You hang out. And when they get to be kindergarten age, they're assigned to whatever school wherever you live, and you send them.
And if you don't send them, you get in trouble.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. They go to school, they get whatever teacher is given to them, and they're educated. And then they grow up, and then they graduate high school, hopefully, and then you make decisions about college or whatever. Right? There's no intentionality about it at all. That's always been my first red flag when it comes to educating is when we try and make something to where we don't have to think about it, that's not necessarily a positive thing when you look at things from a biblical standpoint. There is pretty much nothing in the Bible where God says, you know what, just don't think about it and you'll have a good result.
Yeah.
Nothing in the Bible. So I think Jackson just died and might fall through the ceiling. that was my first problem. But even that aside, when I think about any decision, my belief is that the best person to decide what's in the best interest of your child is you, because you're the closest person to your child.
Sure.
Right. And I believe that about everything, right? I mean, when it comes to, you know, what meals you should and shouldn't eat as a family, you know who I think is the most qualified to figure that out? You, because you're the one that's around your family. So for me, I believe that when we look biblically, the Lord has a funnel to where ultimately our decision of whether or not we are accepted into eternity is up to who?
The Lord.
But
our decision.
Right. But how many? Yours and mine? Like, what gets you into heaven? Yours and my decision?
No, my decision.
Your decision.
Right.
Right. At the end of the day, what the Bible teaches is that the person that's responsible for the most important decisions in your life is you.
Right.
You are. So then you're married. And then what's the Bible say about how you need to make decisions for your marriage?
Together.
You, the two of you. And ultimately the man as the leader of the home, he has to take that leadership role. But it's the couple that makes the decision, right? With the Lord, it's funneled down to the smallest possible unit. Mm-hmm. The problem is in this country and a number of countries, New Zealand included, the decision isn't funneled down to the smallest unit, the family, it's funneled up, right, to a larger unit that, because there are experts involved, they can make decisions for all 50 million children that are in this country or whatever the number is. Mm-hmm. So the problem is, it's hard for me to think that someone who lives a long ways away from my child knows anything about what's best for my child. And the problem is, Because the response is, well, yeah, but they have all of the experts. Well, the problem is the experts are only defined by their contemporaries, right? So 200 years ago, what people thought was expert for a child isn't the same thing they think are expert for a child now. This whole school system changed about 60 years ago with a guy named John Dewey. And basically before that, what the school, and you can go back and look at this. This is a fun exercise anyway. Go back and find, like, Google 1890 first grade history test. And it'll pull up an actual test that you can see from first graders in the late 1800s. And it'll be something like, you know, write out the entire preamble to the Constitution. Right? It's stuff where you look at it and you go, I can't do that now as a 37-year-old, let alone a 7-year-old in 1890. But that's how it was. Because we expected that the purpose of education was ultimately defined by the fact that there is a creator of this earth, and our job when we educate our children is to help them better understand the creation into which they've been placed. So you might hear people talk about classically educating their kids. That's the purpose of a classical education.
Yeah, you're learning about the truth and beauty that's created by the creator.
Right. And why do we do that? Well, because we believe that ultimately our purpose of educating our children is to prepare them to be an individual who can live in this created world and ultimately grow up to best understand the world around them. And I'm intentionally leaving God out of that, because even secularists in the early United States believed that the purpose is that we're to recognize there are truths in the world around us. Two plus two is four. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Democrat, Republican, male, female, doesn't matter. Two plus two is four. That's just a truth. And so our job is to teach our children truth so that they recognize there are certain boundaries to this world that we live in. John Dewey didn't believe that. So John Dewey looked at that system, and what he said is, well, we should really be teaching children at their level and helping them go on a journey of discovery of the world around them. So rather than expecting them to memorize the Constitution and write in cursive and, you know, memorize Latin and some of these other languages and study all of the classic literature and these things that are difficult things to do, but that we were doing as an educational system, he said, what we really need to do is create a school system that is outcome-based. And what he meant by that was, and look all these things up. You don't have to take my word for it. Look up John Dewey, public education. He said, what we need to do is be taking children and turning them into the best members of society that we can. Mm-hmm. So the purpose of education was no longer to recognize and discover the truths around you. It was, that's exactly right. It was about sort of making sure that this person fits into the society around them. Well, of course, the problem with that is that at the end of the day, what then defines your child's education? The people around them. So it decouples education from truth, meaning like, 2 + 2 = 4, right? It decouples education from that. And I'm not saying students don't learn that anymore. They do, but for a different reason, right? We learn 2 + 2 = 4 now, not because we recognize that as a truth, but because in order to be the best member of American society that we can, you have to be able to do math, right? So that's the difference. Now, it seems maybe like a minor difference, but look at how this is playing out over time. Now you're at a place in society where you're going, well, there are a lot of students that feel like if they can't do 2 + 2 = 4 as good as the next kid, it harms their standing in society. So let's not worry about whether or not they know 2 + 2 = 4. As long as, you know, if they say 2 + 2 = 6, but they can show us how they got there, then great. We need to affirm them in that. And if you think I'm making this up, look it up, because I'm not making it up. And then that ties into the other things, which is, well, what does society say about sexuality? What does society say about what makes someone a man versus what makes them a woman? What does society say about history? Right? Go back, like, ask your children, they're in public school. What did you learn about Christopher Columbus on Columbus Day? If you learned anything, because Columbus Day is not even a thing anymore. It's now Indigenous Peoples Day, which is great. But the reason that it was changed was because things were being said about Christopher Columbus that are flat not true. They're just not true. And it really doesn't even take very long to realize that they're not true, but they're taught, right? You know that you've probably heard this said, you know, maybe by a teacher that you've had in the past, that when it comes to history, the victor writes the history, right? So whoever wins the war gets to write the truth mm-hmm. about the war. Well, that's sort of where we're at right now from a school standpoint. Whoever teaches the history gets to choose the history. So we can choose to teach certain things and not teach other things. And the problem is, because this is being done at a high up level, and now, and this was another John Dewey thing, that education should be separated from the parent, right? Because his theory, and again, go look him up, but his theory was that the biggest impediment to creating good American citizens was parents. Because they're always getting in the way and trying to figure out, well, do I agree with what this teacher's teaching or do I not agree with it? And so it created this rift where the student would go to school and go, I'm not listening to you because my dad says that's not at all what happened in this history or this math or whatever the case may be. So that's like a very brief, because we don't have a ton of time, history on how the educational system changed. So what does that mean for you as a parent? Does it mean you should never, ever send your kids to public schools? No, I don't believe it's a sin to send your children to public school. I do believe as parents, you need to think long and hard about the influences that you're allowing into your children's lives. Mm-hmm. because the school system is more and more being turned against you as parents. Just recently in the United States, there was a whole big thing of parents that were very upset with some of the things that their kids were being exposed to in public schools. And they made a big deal about it at some board meetings. And now the FBI is thinking about getting involved in looking into these parents. I mean, think about that. They didn't shoot up the place. They didn't draw a weapon. They were mad. And I wouldn't necessarily have handled it that way myself, because I don't necessarily think that's beneficial. But I also understand with some of the things that were being shared. And again, look them up, because you can find videos. One of them was just the person reading some material that she found in her young child's elementary school library. So please look them up on your own. But my point is that more and more, the school system is sort of taking, the public school system is sort of taking this idea of, well, when you put your student in the school, we know what's best.
Like, you're giving them over to us.
That's right.
You don't have a say anymore.
That's right. And at the end of the day, they're going, well, your tax money goes to us, so we're the ones to choose it. And again, this is one thing, and I don't know, Jerem, how the money system works in New Zealand. With regards to school, it doesn't ultimately matter. But here in the United States, if you go to a public school, there isn't a cost to do it, meaning an out-of-pocket cost, right? A portion of our taxes goes towards the public school system, which is also one of the reasons why it can be hard to think about going somewhere other than the public school, because there's going to be a financial sacrifice to do that.
Because you're already paying for a school for your kids to go to
through your taxes. Yep.
And to send them somewhere else is you're paying double.
Right.
And so you're paying through your taxes, and then you're paying a private school to send your kids to. And it's not cheap.
Right. But what you need to do as a couple is look into what the public school system is trying to do to your kids. Right. And I don't necessarily mean like, that sounded scary and I didn't necessarily mean it to, because there may be people watching this podcast that are going, well, I actually love what the public schools are teaching our kids. Great. Then your kids are in exactly the spot where they should be. But
you should be knowing what your kids are being taught, though.
That's right.
That shouldn't be something that's hidden from you.
That's right.
Or something that you turn up, that you stick your head in the sand about.
That last part is the biggest part. Because I think that there are a lot of people, I know there are a lot of people that hear us talk about public schools and they go, okay, you're just basing it off of these fringe, you know, stories. And I'm not. And, you know, this is something I've spent a lot of time looking into. This is something that, you know, Andrea has said when I first started talking to her about this, she thought I was a weirdo.
Yeah, we started talking about this 15 years ago before we had kids.
And at the time, I think she thought I was like just finding these super fringe examples.
Well, you were a little bit ahead of your time. He was a little bit fringe. The things that he was saying were slightly crazy because he was just a little bit ahead of his time. But Nathan has probably a God-given ability to see a lot of what's coming down the road politically, in the education system, that sort of thing. And I cannot even tell you the predictions that he was talking about 15 years ago that weren't a thing 15 years ago, but are things today.
Yeah.
So he just has, again, probably a God-given ability to see that, before it happens. And he was talking about it then. And I was like, you're nuts. That's not what's going on.
Right. But then these, you know, headline after headline come out and all of a sudden you go, man, I should probably start paying attention to this. And really that's why I keep banging the drum and going back to this, because I think there are a lot of parents that think everything's okay because they just haven't looked into it, because we're all busy, right? We're working, we have our families, we're doing things. But I would beg you as parents, please spend time looking into the education of your kids. And think about the people who I'm putting them around all day in school. Do they reflect the values that I have? Which brings us to private school. And up until right before Jackson went to kindergarten, we thought we were going to have him in a private school. We were both private Christian school educated. But we started looking into that. And we had some questions and concerns about kind of how all that was going to work. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, the question to come back to is, am I fully comfortable before the Lord as a parent that I am putting my child for 8 hours, whatever it is a day, the people I'm putting them with, the leadership of those schools, the school board of those schools, am I convinced that those schools, one, have the best interests of my child at heart, and two, do those school board systems and school administrators, do they define my child's best interest the same way that I do?
Right.
Because your kids are going to be convinced with wherever they go to school. So can I just tell you, if you're watching this and you're going, well, I'm really involved in asking my son and daughter about their day, and we do family devotions as a family at night, and they're involved in the youth group, but then the school system you're in, you recognize as a family is not, they don't believe the same thing that you believe, whatever, whether it's public school, private school, whatever it is. Can I just tell you lovingly, you're fooling yourself, because they're in that environment way more hours out of the day than you're going to have with them. And if you think that in that environment where they have their friend group, they have structure, they have coordinated efforts to teach them, in my example, these things that you think are incorrect, you're not going to win them back in the 3 or 4 hours that you have with them every night.
And there's a difference, in my opinion, between young kids and older children with that. I mean, it takes a strong – we've known some. It takes a strong, like, high schooler to have such convictions with what they believe, spiritually and politically and – morally and all that, to really fight that off if they go to like a public high school.
Right.
And there are some that are totally prepared for that and can do that. But, you know, specifically younger kids are extremely impressionable just based on who's speaking into their life. I mean, they, you know, think about it as parents. I tell my kids something and they just believe it because I'm the one telling them that.
Right.
I'm the adult that means something to them in their lives, and they just latch onto it.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, that's right. And you know, I mean, you gotta be honest as a couple with children about this place that we're putting our kids. Where do they align with what we believe? And at the end of the day, if you reach the conclusion, well, they're not aligned with what we believe, then you have to ask what is really the most difficult question. And the question that I think is the reason why most people don't ask the first question, which is, okay, well then what do we do?
Yeah.
Because knowing that this school is not aligned with what we believe in, they're teaching our children things that are contrary to what we believe, means you have to take some action. And you know, guys, I'm not going to tell you that there aren't sacrifices to be made in order to, you know, get your kids into somewhere that believes as you believe. I mean, it's a financial sacrifice. If you go down the homeschool route, it's a time sacrifice for both of you. You know, it's just
a sanity sacrifice.
right. But at the end of the day, the question again you have to come back to is, well, this child was given to me to be raised by the Lord.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, let's not be people that get to eternity and stand before the Lord and go, well, Lord, I didn't trust you for the $5,000 a year, $3,000 a year, $7,000 a year, whatever it was to send to put my kid in an environment that aligned with what we knew you wanted us to teach them as their parents.
I guarantee the Lord is big enough for you to say, okay, God, I'm going to be intentional about thinking about this, praying about this situation, right, looking into it, really understanding it. And then I'm coming to you with questions. And some of those are, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
How are you going to work this out?
Right.
How are you going to make my heart willing? How are you going to work the finances out or the time out or whatever?
Right.
He is big enough for that. But to get to that point where you're willing to say, all right, I'm going to start asking the questions. I'm going to start looking into this. And then there's going to be follow-up with you, God, after that.
Right.
And okay.
Right. And anecdotally, this is what we did. You know, Jackson was going into school shortly after I had just switched jobs to a job that paid much less and was commission based. And even, you know, we don't do full homeschooling. We do a collaborative school where he's in school a couple of days a week and then he's homeschooled the other days. And so, you know, there's a considerable expense to that. And now we have two of them in that school. And it is easy to go, man, I could do a lot with these thousands of dollars that we're paying to the school. But we had to do what I'm begging you guys to talk about as a couple, which is, are we willing to make those difficult sacrifices and really allow the Lord to prove his love for our children by just relying on him to provide a way? If you believe that the public school system does not have your child's best interests at heart. And I'm saying the same thing about private school, too, because there's a lot of private schools that look good on the outside. And then you start getting into the details of what they're going to teach. And you might go, man, this is hardly better than the public school.
Sure.
So,
yeah. And know, too, that there are a lot of different schooling options. So, you know, it's no longer just like public or private. You've got public and private and collaborative, where you've got a mix of homeschooling and private schooling.
Yep.
You've got fully homeschooling. You've got some micro schools. You can do paint by number collaborative schooling with private schools. So you can even work with a private school to say, my kid will come to the class for this, this, and this. And then the rest I'm homeschooling. There's lots of private schools that will do that. Yeah. So there's a lot of options out there for schooling.
Yeah.
Things have changed a lot.
Right. But step one is, as a couple, really start digging into this and asking yourselves, the school that our kids are currently in, or if your kids are young, you know, the school system that they'd be going into sort of by default, where does that school align with what we believe and what we need to teach them about the Lord and the world around them?
Yep. Whew, that was long-winded.
It was. Well, it's a different, I mean, it could be a lot more long-winded.
I know. If we, it's just if a we big really conversation.
Into this.
Yep.
And, you know, it's probably something we need to kick around doing a longer form, you know, Family Friday, you know, series on, where we talk a little bit more about public schools and maybe transparently why we chose not to go down that road. And and certainly if you're watching this and you think, man, public schools have never been better than they are now, it's then great. And certainly love you to leave a comment and make that case to me, because I'm sure you can tell I'm not a big proponent of the public school system in the United States. And that has nothing to do with the teachers. In fact, it is excruciating to me that we have not been able to find a way to get more of the amazing teachers that are in the public school to come teach in other formats. Because a lot of them, and I know this because I've talked to a huge number of them that would love to do that, but because public schools are taxpayer funded, they can't get the benefits or the pay that they need for their family in those other avenues. And it just makes me sick that that's the case, but it is
true.
Somebody guys
commented.
Oh yeah, they did. Good. Yeah. Sam, this is great. Sam says, I do not agree. All four of my kids are killing it in public school. All four of my kids went at, or are going through public school. They love it and have and are getting a great education. They went and they went to and or are going to Millard North. Sam, that's fantastic. I'm not like I'm not telling you that every student that goes to a public school is a mess, Sam. And I know, you know, you and I are not like I don't know you personally, but I know your family, and I know you guys have taken seriously, you know, the raising of your kids as a couple, which is great, right? And again, I, from the beginning, I said, you know, this is not a knock on every person that goes to a public school, but Sam, I think you probably would have to be honest with me that if you and I went back and forth on kids that you know who were in God-fearing homes that went to public school and turned out great versus those where they went to public school and the school system turned them against their beliefs,
at least for
I could go for a really long time. And I can give you an anecdotal example since you gave me an anecdotal example. And that example is that, we had always thought that Jackson would do this collaborative school until he got to high school. And then he would go to a public high school, because we were sort of thinking that, you know, hey, you raise him kind of in this Christian bubble until he gets to the high school age, and then we'll send him out into a public high school and, you know, he can live his faith out there in the midst of that environment. And we had a couple sit in our kitchen at the kitchen table, and we were kind of sharing that with them. And they said, both their kids were upperclassmen in high school. And they said, we would beg you to reconsider that, because that's what we thought we were going to do. And in 3.5 years, the school system completely unraveled what we had spent years teaching our kids. And so they anecdotally had said, hey, if we could go back and do it differently, we absolutely would not have sent our kids to public school. So anyway, is it anecdotal? Well, of course it is. Sam, and I'm thrilled that, mm-hmm. you know, all four of your kids killed it in public school. Yeah. And I pray that they go out into the world and affect, you know, change for the Lord, as I do for everybody's kids. You know, my point is, as with anything, Sam, the exceptions do not define the rule. And the reality of the matter is there are tons of people who have tried their best to teach their kids, but the public school. And the other thing is, Sam, because if I remember right, your kids are older. And so, you know, I mean, your kids were not being taught in kindergarten and first grade the thing that kids now are being taught in kindergarten and first grade. Right. I mean, it is different. So, and that's partly, and I'm admitting this, that I am kind of a forethinking, you know, that's kind of how I'm wired, is to look at this and kind of try and read the tea leaves, and it's getting considerably worse rapidly. And, you know, so we need to be really diligent. And again, I'm, you know, Sam, obviously you and your wife spent some time looking at this and going, okay, what's in the best interest of our kids? And I'm betting you recognize that, hey, there's probably some stuff in the public school that's doesn't align with what we believe. And so we need to be intentional to sow into that as parents.
Yeah.
And
thanks.
Great. Yeah. So if you're watching this, and Sam, yeah, thank you for commenting. There's an example, where, you know, it's not that you send your kids to public school, you're sinning. That's not what I'm saying at all.
That's why I said at the very beginning, it can be hard to have this conversation because, I never want people to hear like, that our convictions are for everybody.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But again, like Sam, I mean, I would say this for your comment, and I would encourage anybody else to comment in as well. These kinds of conversations are really positive for people to be able to watch, because you can have two people that both love Jesus and take raising their kids seriously that disagree mm-hmm. on an issue like this, yeah. and that's okay.
Yeah.
And we talk it over and respect each other, and you know, I respectfully disagree, and I know you do too. And that's
yeah,
great.
I'm sure we can talk have, about it. I'm sure we could, if we were in person, have a lot more good conversation with Sam.
That's right.
About some of those things.
That's right. That's right. All right, guys. Well, it's the words I say probably more than anything else. Oh, question popped in. Josh, what are your thoughts on taking a stance on fighting against what public schools are currently trying to push on our kids versus sitting sitting idle? Well, I mean, you have to, right? I mean, so I'll answer your questions two ways, Josh, because I'm trying to figure out which way you're talking about here. So are you saying if your kids are in public school, you know, versus like, hey, if you just abandon the public school system, you know, if all the Christians leave the public school system, then who's in the public school system left to fight for it? Which I understand that position. My response to that position is, where currently are all the Christians in the public school system? Because, again, look at the product that you're getting.
Well, they're fighting, but
right, I think right. You're being considered a domestic terrorist.
I know. I think whether you're in the school, Josh says yes. Okay. I think whether you're in the school system, like doing the public school thing or not, it's still an issue for you because it's still children that are being affected by things that aren't good for children and that are just lies.
Right.
And so even if they're not your children, you should still be fighting for them. So,
right. And again, we need to be careful, Josh, because, you know, we could apply that to anything, right? I mean, you know, if Christians, all Christians leave the strip club, then who's going to witness to the people in the strip club? Right. I mean, at the end of the day, there are some things that are just wrong. And that doesn't mean that doesn't. And again, I'm not saying public school system is wrong. I'm saying you have to decide that. But if you come to the decision that, hey, they're teaching things that are contrary to what we want to teach our kids, you, by taking your kids out of the public school, that doesn't mean you cease to have an opinion on public schooling. You're paying for it. So I would totally encourage you to be involved. Know the members of your public school board in whatever district you're in. Know who those people are. Know who they are, what things they're standing up for. Know your school superintendents. Be a blessing to those teachers, even if your kids don't go to those schools. But we don't have to put our children in those school systems, if that's your conviction, in order to have an opinion. You're funding that school system, whether you have your child there, you don't have it there, your children there. So I would say, as one, as a church, our churches should be playing a role in the public school system with regards to, you know, inviting those kids into youth ministries, and you, Josh, and your wife play a role in that, in that, you know, your kids are involved in sports. My kids are involved in sports. Jackson has a team of 11 guys who he plays baseball with, all of whom go to the public schools, except maybe one. So we're sowing into those kids' lives. I spend a lot of time just looking at, well, what's our local school board doing? And really, that's, you know, it's something Andrea and I talk about quite a bit, is this is what's going on in these local school districts that are local to where we live, because we want to be invested in what's going on in our community. And what Andrea said is right. At the end of the day, these are some of the most vulnerable human beings among us, and the Lord's asked us to care for the most vulnerable amongst us, which includes children.
Yep.
And so we need to be invested in what's going on and take a stand on those things.
Yep. Good question.
Good question, Josh. Thanks, buddy. All right. I think that's all the questions that have come through at this point. So we're gonna shut it down. Here's a shocker for Andrea. We're over time. So we're going to go ahead and close it down. Hey, if you watch this on replay or down the road, or you listen to it once we post it up on our Anchor, thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. once we post it up to our podcast only, so iTunes or Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to it at. If you have questions or comments, please comment. Sam, I really appreciated you commenting. Josh, I appreciate your comments. Please put those comments in here. We will respond to every one of them. Jerem, thank you so much for asking the question and throwing this hornet's nest at us. But you know, we love talking about it. It's important. We do miss you. Hope all's well with you and your family, buddy. So, and please, if your body has any questions, I know this was kind of tailored towards, you know, those living in the United States because that's where we live. But if your body has any additional questions, Jerem, please post those up. We'd love to answer those. So guys, until next Sunday, we love you guys. We love your hearts for your families and for marriage.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
That's right. We'll have a marriage Monday coming up tomorrow morning and then a family Friday coming up on Thursday. And we'll see you again on Sunday for our live. Until then, guys, remember, God is for your family. Have a good night.